You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. Join us on the lines, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend, and host of the Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m., joins me in studio. Jim, I hope we're not burning through all your material, man.
Not at all. As we always comment, all the big stuff happens after 8 o'clock on a Friday night anyway. And that's where you have to get up especially early on Saturday mornings to figure out what happened to ensure that you're timely on Saturday morning. Always happens. Always good things. Always good to be with you, Dom.
Likewise. We're going to be talking about some of this national stuff. Let's bring it back home here momentarily, if we may. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Jim, Jesse Poyen reporting, the Wisconsin Supreme Court Friday, today, agreed to consider independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s case as he seeks to have his name removed from the state's presidential ballot. The court is set an expedited briefing schedule as the clock winds down for clerks to mail absentee ballots ahead of the November 5th elections. The liberal majority court accepted a petition from the Wisconsin Elections Commission to bypass an appeals court and take the case directly. The conservatives, I guess, they're not real fond of this, but we'll skip back past some of this and get down to what Kennedy's doing here. So Kennedy filed a lawsuit against the WEC earlier this month in Dane County, arguing independent candidates are treated unfairly because they operate under different deadlines from party-aligned candidates when it comes to ballot access. And I thought, I mean, I didn't know this until this happened. So what's the timeline here? Party affiliated candidates had until 5 p.m. on September 3rd to certify their candidacy, according to the guidance from the Election Commission, while independent candidates had until 5 p.m. August 6th. And Kennedy ended his campaign on August 23rd. Right off the bat, there's more to this and we'll dive into it. But Jim, that doesn't seem logical to me. And maybe there's things I don't know on the election process, but why would a party affiliated candidate, be it the Democrats or the Republicans, Libertarian, Greens, whatever, those party, they have a different timeline than quote unquote independent non-party affiliated candidates.
It certainly does seem superficially, does it not, linguistically in terms of calendar, that you are treating candidates differently. And we start with the proposition that shouldn't usually happen. Again, I confess to you, Dom, and to your listeners, I'm also not a student of the particular reasons why this distinction has been made. My guess is that when you've got the established parties, well, you've got more procedure that's known, that sort of thing. And maybe you're concerned about having just this onslaught of independent people coming forward. You need more time to figure that out, to get them on the ballot or to determine whether or not they should be there. That might be it. It probably is some sort of administrative procedural thing. But I will say that as to that aspect of his lawsuit, as his claim, it certainly does have some superficial appeal. And maybe there is something to that the Supreme Court may want to take a look at in terms of determining whether or not this kind of bifurcated approach makes sense or not. Don't know enough about the merits of this. We'll figure it out, obviously, as people file briefs here in the next few hours. The larger issue, of course, is just timing, tick-tock, right? As his name is on the ballot right now. And the remedy being proposed, at least in some of the initial pleadings here, is that because it's out there, rather than having all these reprinted, that we engage in a process where you've got clerks and their deputy clerks have got little white stickers. Maybe you go to Office Max and you get all kinds
like
of white
stickers. Right? What are we in high school? Right. Grade school? I got to white right. it out?
And you apply the stickers on the top of his name on the ballots. Can you imagine doing that? Especially in ballots that are already out there in the mail in many instances, right? They're printed, they're out there. And that seems to me to be a bridge that may in fact be too far for the Supreme Court to embrace. The other broader issue about this is you're a candidate for the presidency and you abide by rules, whether you like them or not. If you decide to pull out of that candidacy, all right, you can do that. You let people know about it. seems to me that you don't necessarily then get the benefit of the timing of your decision that justifies now everybody doing backflips to get the documents exactly right, as the way that you want them to be.
More reporting from Jesse Poyne at the Journal Sentinel on Wednesday, three judges on the state's Second District Court of Appeals in Waukesha granted Kennedy's petition for leave to appeal Dane County Judge Elke's Monday decision, rejecting the request to be dropped from the ballot. Now, the state, the appeals court order required Kennedy to file a brief by 11 a.m. Thursday, yesterday, and required a response by the WEC by 11 a.m. Friday. So that time has already passed. Kennedy will then be allowed to file a response by 4 p.m. Friday today. So presumably that's been done. So what? How does this work in your mind, Jim? Does the Supreme Court then read those documents and make a determination? You know, reach down, grab it, make a call on this. And if so, you know, what kind of time frame are we
right
looking at?
Man, once again, TikTok, right? You're within 50 days right now of this election, and presumably what happens here is again, the Supreme Court has basically pulled this now from the appeals court, as you just said. Let's take a look at all these briefs. They may in fact be directing the parties to file more briefs. Again, lawyers like to write and like to talk, and plainly would not give up the opportunity to do that. But again, expedited is the big word here, right? If there is a briefing schedule before the Supreme Court, it's being very, very quick. Lots of lawyers staying up all night to get all this done, to get it all accomplished, as well they should. If indeed RFK Jr. wants the benefit of a favorable decision, you got to get it done quickly. Supreme Court also maybe has oral argument very, very quickly as well. This is expedited, expedited, and then a decision, you know, depending upon what they do. It's difficult to imagine that they're going to. And the other underlying part of this, which we talked about, I think, just last week, Dom, is, you know, the WCE position, although, again, the law basically says once you're on the ballot, unless you die.
Right.
The chair of the WC said, you know, I don't think RFK is going to planning to do that anytime soon. The law in Wisconsin is unless you die, unless you are you remain on the ballot. That is not the case. That's the law. Now, the Supreme Court, I suppose, can rule that somehow unconstitutional and resurrect candidates out of death or into death or beyond death. Who knows? But there are many problems with this. But it's good, I suppose, for the Supreme Court for the purposes of sending a message to the Wisconsin population that we are taking a look at this. We've decided, presumably, not to grant RFK's petition here, but we are attentive to the fact that we are the Supreme Court in the state, and we should issue something that further confirms the legitimacy of our election process. No fraud, no stolen elections here. People are very, very, very transparent. No opaqueness, none of those crazy conspiracy things going on. If they're doing it for that purpose, I applaud them.
The commission voted 5-1 to keep Kennedy on the ballot after Democratic commissioners blocked their Republican counterparts from removing him in an earlier vote. Now, attorneys for Kennedy, of course, as an independent, several of the Republican commissioners argued at the time they should be able to withdraw his name from the ballot officially set. But Wisconsin law, as mentioned, holds that anyone who files the nomination papers and qualifies to appear on the ballot, which Kennedy did, cannot decline nomination. The only exception to that provision is, quote, in case of death of the person, according to law. And you talked about Jacobs, and she said, her quote, the only way he gets to not be on the ballot is to up and die, which I'm assuming he has no plans on doing. The statute is absolutely clear on this.
Right. And maybe this is something, again, maybe you write your Wisconsin legislators and say, you know what, for the future, maybe we need to change these deadlines somehow. We need to remedy this particular death provision of the law. The problem, once again, is it's just so late in the day.
And it's for this election. It's his own fault. I mean, if he was palling around, if this was some sort of plan between him and the righties or Trump or whatever the case is to try to suck votes away from Joe Biden.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah, sorry, it didn't work out for you maybe the way you thought. And now you're going to be perhaps pulling votes from Trump.
And once again, it goes back to our discussion again about Tanya Chutkan and Juan Merchan, right? Do you want to have judicial decisions premised upon politics? Well, you're deciding things based upon elective politics. I recognize that completely. But if what you're really doing is you want to make certain that somebody is able to throw their votes to another candidate, isn't that politics? Isn't that partisan, not manipulation, but partisan activity of the highest order? And should the court be deciding this case based upon that? If you really view our justices and judges as not being involved in politics, if you embrace the Tanya Chutkan approach, they should come to the result that at least for this election, until the legislature acts differently, we're stuck. This is the law, and this is what we need to follow.
This is the law, and there's also the operational, the process, the printing of the ballots. There's a physical thing going on that would have to be remedied to millions of pieces of paper, and I'm not sure whiteout is going
to
cut it.
Right. And again, I mentioned this to you before we went on the air this afternoon. I served some time as an election commissioner and on poll books and other things, registering people and absentee ballots. I know based upon the way the machines work that, boy, you start slapping stickers or, heaven forbid, whiteout or, heaven forbid, crossing things out. Those machines, in because of the interest of legitimacy, are going to have great problems with those kinds of ballots.
Very sensitive on the input.
Very sensitive. Yeah. And lots of times we have to not do things to them, but fold them in a way that makes certain that the ballots quite literally go into the machine in a way that it will accept them and count your vote accurately. That's the point.
I used to have a printer that I hated.
There you go.
855-752-4842. Got a couple of callers. Let's get to them. Jeannie from Eau Claire. Welcome. Happy Friday, Jeannie. What do you got?
First of all, I want to strongly recommend tomorrow Amicus, a law review. I've listened to it since you started and haven't missed a class. It's just like law school. And,
bless you.
So thank you so much for all you do. Anyway, I just wanted to bring up, a concern I have for seniors. I mean, this is a great thing to cause chaos for people. Oh, no, I got my ballot already, and then they're making a court decision. Is my ballot okay? A lot of them get them in right away. So I think I hope that somebody's arguing against this that have the intelligence and the background that you do, Mr. Santel. So thank you very much, you guys, for this coverage, and thank you so much, Dom, for keeping up the great work that you do and having this guy on as a guest. You have a good day, and thank you so much. Looking forward to tomorrow.
You're welcome. All right, thank you so much, Jenny. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling 855-752-4842. This continued issue, election integrity thing, and this kind of plays into it, but it's a part of it. And if you got a guy like Kenny as an independent that was, getting in this thing, and I would say it looks like to play games and they gambled and they lost, and the current rules are the current rules. And he could have made the deadline. He could have gotten out sooner.
Sure. Right. Absolutely. And again, he didn't make the decision months later. It was weeks, maybe days or so. Right. And to Gene's good point as well, just want to endorse that too. The notion of avoiding confusion.
Right.
Well, we're going to get that anyway. There's issues about JFK, RFK's junior's place on the ballot. People are going to be wondering, gee, well, can I vote for him? That causes confusion too. Yeah. That's the problem.
It is. And it's not, I don't want people to, quote unquote, waste their votes. But hey, that's kind of RFK's fault. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. That is James Santel. That is Aaron on the board. Your calls are next, 855-752-4842. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. James Santel in studio with me. Aaron on the board taking your calls, 855-752-4842. Let's get back to them, our very patient audience. Joe in Madison, welcome. What do you got for us, Joe?
Hi, guys. Jim, I'm glad you're here. I'm interested in the thoughts of a federal prosecutor, former federal prosecutor of decades of experience, and your thoughts about this report that came out by Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the actions of our wannabe Wisconsin senator, that would be Mr. Hovde, who presently lives and works in California. And he works with a bank called SunWest Bank. And apparently, according to Bice's reporting, this bank, his SunWest Bank, had four separate flights last December in which $26 million between the four flights was flown from Mexico City to Irvine, California, to be deposited in Eric Hovde's SunWest Bank. As a federal prosecutor, if you heard that banks were getting money via cash, millions in cash rather than the SWIFT system, which is the system that banks generally use in order to transport money from place to place. And in fact, Putin's being pulled off of having the SWIFT system was considered an incredibly hard economic blow. Wouldn't that be a big red flag to you that something a little weird is going on there? I mean, what banks move millions in cash? What if somebody steals it? What if the plane goes down? I've never heard of such a thing. What is your take on that, Jim? I'd be really curious what you think.
Joe, thanks so much for the call, and good to hear from you as well. Delighted to be in touch. And so, without in any way commenting upon what the Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Milwaukee or Madison may or may not be doing here, I don't know that, nor would they tell you. That's a part of our process, right? The answer is you've hit upon something that is a part of the regular investigative process for all federal agencies, including the FBI, financial agencies as well. And that is, if you see transactions, remember we always talk about that $10,000 threshold. If you see large amounts of cash that are coming in and out, banks have an obligation to report that to the federal government. They're called suspicious activity reports.
SARs,
right? Remember this from the past? And those, again, they're not indictments. They're not charges. But it's for exactly, Joe, the reason that you identified, which is, again, things in cash, large amounts of money. They began, of course, focused upon drug transactions, right? In cash, being moved around, that sort of thing. Many drug dealers at the highest levels have become a little bit more sophisticated. Money laundering then following their recognition that they're being stopped by these SARs. But that's the reporting that banks have got to do. And that may be, Bill, what the reporting coming out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is all about. Be fairly confident that someone is looking at this. Can there be legitimate reasons for it? Sure, there can be. On the other hand, that's the reason why it's called suspicious activities right. And not criminal activities, just all kinds of things. And again, to underscore the civics point, which, Joe, I know you appreciate and embrace routinely, prosecutors do not initiate and even investigations absent some reason to believe that there is something, some scintilla. It doesn't have to be proof beyond a reasonable doubt, doesn't have to be probable cause, some reason to open the investigation. I can't simply do it just because I don't like this candidate. I don't like Jim Santel. Let's pull his tax returns. Let's see what his bank accounts look like. You do that, you're in violation of an oath. But if you've got some reason to see a transaction, something that does raise suspicion, you're not going to be in the public domain, but you are, in fact, going to open a file and determine, again, by interviews, by other transactions, other documents, whether this is something that's completely legitimate, which it could be, or not. That's how cases are begun.
$26 million in cash being flown. Remember D.B. Cooper?
Yes, right. Wherever he is today, we don't know. He's old today.
He would have been be on that plane. Right. This is reporting also, not in the General Sentinel, but Raw Story. Man, I love it when the Raw Story picks it up a little bit from their reporting based on our friends over at the General Sentinel, that Hovde's bank, SunWest, arranged a deal last year to fly $26 million in cash from Mexico City to Irvine, California, according to the Milwaukee Journal. Now, neither Hovde nor his bank are accused of breaking laws, but his opponents are demanding transparency and slamming the candidate for his willingness to work with Banco Azteca, the subject of an extensive Reuters expose. Banco Azteca was also cut off by other U.S. banks over reporting linking it to cartel activity, reported the local news site WisPolitics. Arik Wolk from the Wisconsin Democratic Party said this: Hovde is willing to do anything to enrich himself, even flying cash across the border for a bank suspected of working for criminal groups that are pouring deadly fentanyl into our state. Moreover, WisPolitics, an executive of the bank, was recently implicated in a federal indictment detailing his attempts to bribe a member of the U.S. Congress to get banks once again to do business with the bank. I mean,
lots of things going on there.
We got a lot
of
problems
at
our bank, you know, but how about this? I'll give you some money. You do some more business with our bank. You good with that?
Right. And that is the kind of thing, again, that investigators, prosecutors look to and say, okay, let's get this story clear. We don't want to charge anything until we've got not just a scintilla. We've got reasonable, probable cause to believe a crime is maybe beyond that even. But all those kinds of, they're not peripheral. They're at the core of the investigation. You look at who's doing what. What is their responsibility? Are there other things around the edges that you also want to be attentive to? Somebody's been charged in another criminal indictment with some other conduct that may or may not be related to this. You look at that as well. Absolutely.
And if you're running for senator of the state of Wisconsin, and you're—I mean, wouldn't you want to be a little concerned? I can imagine. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that this is this blatant, you know, criming going on. But you know, you never know. No, no one's accusing anything, but certainly transporting $26 billion in cash. Right. Man, I hope nothing fell off the truck.
Right.
855-752-4842. It's a call. It's a text. A couple of these should some texters having to say. Here's one from WMDX. I don't think Kennedy should be able should not be able to withdraw unless he terminates his campaign, but it would cost him money. RFK sued to get on the ballot, said Kerry from Tulsa, ran a disaster campaign, sued to get off the ballot, and is now part of Trump's transition plan. God forbid Trump wins, RFK will continue his disaster right into the White House. That's a great observation. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has been fighting the whole way along. Yeah, get me in. No, get me out, get me out.
Absolutely. And if you're consistent, inconsistent along the way, you again suffer the consequences of that when the rules are applied. We'll see if he becomes the next Secretary of Health and Human Services in a Trump administration. That presumably is what he's looking for. I hope not.
I did hear, I see a headline that he is being investigated for the cutting of the head off the whale on the beach situation. So, you know, you got that going for
Fish and Wildlife Service also investigating. Good to know.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Biden administration has touted its efforts to reduce prescription drug costs for Medicare enrollees, including price negotiations with drug makers. There's been chatter among Republicans about rolling back those provisions. The latest polling data from AARP shows tinkering with those moves would not sit well with voters here in the Badger State. Pollster Bob Ward from research firm Fabrizio Ward.
We asked this question back in July in Wisconsin and again here in this poll. And the choice between, you know, supporting a member of Congress who wants to continue negotiating lower drug prices, is it 79% versus support for the member who wants to end negotiating for lower drug prices, 8%?
The balance of power in the U.S. Senate is also being closely watched this election. In the AARP Wisconsin poll, incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin holds a 3-point lead over Republican challenger Eric Hovde among all likely voters. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. A celebration of one of Madison's most unique neighborhoods is this weekend. It's the Willie Street Fair. There's tons of live music, even kids karaoke, and on Sunday there's a parade. The Willie Street Fair begins tomorrow at 2. On Sunday it starts at 11 a.m. This is the 47th year of the event. And the Black on State Block Party is this weekend, too, that celebrates Madison's Black culture, businesses, and creativity. That's Sunday from noon to 6 on State Street. For September, we've got a hot weekend ahead for these events. Sunday, there are some rain chances, too, so you'll want to check the forecast. And this weekend is your last chance to check out an art show that the creators themselves call Unhinged. Remember Furbies from the 90s and early aughts? I remember mine. I had a pink and green one. They're small, they have plastic eyes, they're furry, and they're kind of creepy. Well, there's a show called Friday the Furbteenth. It explores themes of back to school, 90s nostalgia, all through Furbies. The show is at the Commonwealth Gallery on South Baldwin Street. Sunday is its last day. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Looking for a new show to binge that will make you laugh heading into the weekend? Here are some Emmy winners worth taking a look at. Hacks took home Best Comedy and brought Jean Smart the Emmy for Best Actress and Best Comedy Writing. All three seasons are available on Max. If it's a drama you want, Shogun won 18 Emmys, including Best Actor, Actress, and Best Drama. There is a season 2 in the works. Happy viewing. Lady Gaga is having a very good year. The singer-actress plays opposite Joaquin Phoenix in Joker Folie à Deux. She had a chart topper with Bruno Mars and has a studio album coming out in October. She recently appeared on the podcast What's Next? The Future with Bill Gates and addressed rumors that people said she was a man early in her career. Gaga said when dealing with misinformation, her attitude is, I'm used to it, I'm a performer, and I think it's kind of funny. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight and a low in the upper 50s. A mix of sun and clouds, a shower or storm possible tomorrow afternoon and evening, high in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy on Sunday, occasional showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder, much cooler with a high in the upper 60s. Right now we're at 83 degrees.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines open 855-752-4842. James Santel in studio with me. You can listen to him and tomorrow on Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. Amicus, a law review. Jim, thanks for sticking around. Aaron on the board, grabbing your calls, 855-75-CIVIC. Talking here locally, RFK Jr., right? Okay, say this right. Suing to get on, as our caller noted, the ballot here in the state of Wisconsin ran a terrible campaign. Suing to get off now is part of the Trump transition team. Got to wonder if this was planned all along. Of course, they wanted to suck some votes away from Joe Biden, but maybe if he doesn't get off the ballot in Wisconsin, they ended up sucking some votes away from, what, Donald Trump?
Right. And when people write the history of this of this election cycle, again, I'm old enough to remember the Making of the President books, which were written, again, by great historians. This one's going to be several volumes, I think, right? And these kinds of things, we will know. We'll know, frankly, not too long after November 5th, but also it's going to take a while for us to figure out what the trends were and what kind of impact RFK Jr. has had on the election, both here in Wisconsin and around the country. We've seen in the past, you know, Bill Clinton, 1992, other times when third party candidates legitimately on the ballot have had an influence right here. And, you know, Jill Stein last time around with Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Gary Johnson.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. All these folks, they do take votes. And so we'll see what the historians.
Well, they earn the votes. People vote
for them.
There you
go. Right. There you go. Right.
Because no one's votes any. And that's the thing. I've toyed with the third party. I mean, I've been all over the board, man. You know me, Jim. And that's one of the things that when we talk about the third parties and you hear people talk about. And I've said this in the past myself. Oh, there's only two parties. Well, no, there's not. You know, there's lots of parties. And you mentioned Jill Stein, the Green Party. I mentioned Gary Johnson. He was a Libertarian candidate in 2016. Right. Of course, the Republicans and Dems, and you know, go down the list of everybody, all the other parties that are there. There's lots. I think there's going to be eight.
Yes, on the ballot.
On the ballot in the state of Wisconsin,
and that's over and above the independents, including RFK Jr. And other people, right?
Yeah, those are the parties plus the independents.
Right.
So there's plenty of people to vote for. Now, of course, none of those candidates are going to win. They just don't. They won't. I get it. I'd like to see some more of that too. But the other side is, well, you got big tents. You know, you got people in the Democratic Party. You got some more progressive folks, some more moderate folks, some more conservative folks. And now the Republican Party used to have probably some diversion of thought, but
a
now
little
it's
bit
just,
of moderation.
Now
right,
it's all mega.
Right,
I mean, anybody who had any, I mean, come on, we're calling Liz and Dick Cheney, you know, rhinos. that you've really, really gone to the right.
Right. All these folks. I mean, you look at, again, I admire her for certainly her supporting democracy and the future of our nation. Right.
Thank you for that. Do we have to thank people for doing the right thing? Can we just expect people to, I don't know, if you want to live in this country, to support democracy?
Right. Exactly. Liz Cheney, it is a matter of record out there, a very conservative voter when she's in the United States Congress, right?
She's and, a Cheney.
Right.
That used to mean something. Exactly. Used to shiver when you say the name. And now, you know, what I would consider perhaps a war criminal in Dick. People are like, no, golf clap. Okay, good job, Dick. Thanks for saying the right thing this time.
How our world has changed dramatically. And again, the question is, depending upon what happens here with the election in November, is there a significant amount of the population that looks at this and says, okay, there should be, we are a better country when we have a vital and reasonable and rational two-party system. Mm-hmm. We don't have the crazy that we're seeing right now. Are there people who say, okay, we went off the deep end here. Let's get back and let's try to reestablish this party. And maybe do the Adam Kinzingers and the Liz Cheneys try to come back and put this together again? Or are we opened up a path now where we really do not have a true two-party system, and
when
does
you say
Donald Trump
we,
continue?
Man, I don't know if I want to be involved in the collective. We mean them,
those people.
That wasn't me. I voted for Republicans in the past.
Right.
Not these cats, man. No.
Right. And decisions being made, right, by not only politicians, but by many people in the United States of America, that's the future that I want for my country. And again, the earlier caller talked about Project 2025. Calling in from California, an awful lot of things there. I know Donald Trump disavows it, but the reality is people in his campaign have authored pieces of that.
Well, he hasn't read any of it, Jim, but he supports part of it. I mean, his whole denial, whatever he's trying to tiptoe and dance around, it doesn't come off as genuine, man. You know, I don't believe it for a minute. I will assume that's going to be the case.
Right. And doing that again, just like he's doing privacy rights and abortion, depending upon the audience, depending upon the day, variously indicating, yes, I'm the one who placed Supreme Court justices on the bench and I got you the overturn of Roe versus Wade. But the states should decide that now. And and in fact, I'm with you on that issue. You know, that attempt once again to moderate the recent past, hoping that maybe most people who are concerned about privacy rights in America, basic civil rights, look at that and see the historical disingenuity, the disingenuousness of that kind of position. That's why education is all important.
Well, and hopefully you have some curious people because, you know, education does matter and folks don't know. And maybe what do they say? You know, if you don't know the history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Right.
And it seems like we're kind of that way right now. Jim, my sense is before anything happens on a national level, the Republican parties, if Donald Trump loses, they're going to have a reckoning with themselves. They're going to have to somehow deal with that. Because if Donald Trump loses and he gets sentenced in November and he goes to trial in these other cases, I mean, he could end up in jail long time.
Right.
And if that's the case, that, you know, where's the leadership then? Now the head's off the hydrant, right? And who's going to lead? Who's the next leader of that party? And then beyond the megas, then you have your traditional GOPers, right? So what happens to Liz Cheney? What happens to Kinzinger and some of those folks? Do they pick up the scraps? They get somebody else? And what happens to those and the low propensity voters that came out, you know, initially to vote for the star,
right,
you know, the apprentice, you know, he's a movie star. He's a rich guy. He's entertaining.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, oh man, the guy that was entertaining is maybe locked up or maybe you know, something happens and he could be at house arrest. Jim. I don't know. But I mean, if Donald Trump remains in somehow some control or has some input into what is left of MAGA after this election, there's not going to be anything left of the Republican Party.
Right. In the reality, of course, in American history, we have not. We always think of course about the Republican Party being the party of Abraham Lincoln. Democrats also FDR and others even preceding that. But the reality is parties in America have not always been Republicans and Democrats. Right. There can, in fact, be a natural evolution here. Note also that even in the wake when fairly mainstream conservative candidates like John McCain, like Mitt Romney, failed in their candidacies for the presidency, The Republican Party went back and said, we've got to do some soul searching. Yeah. Because what happened here, right? And they did that. And they came up with reports and said, we got to appeal to larger bases here. And we've got to do all these kinds of things. That's what's in, when the country did not, yeah, did not vote for. And again, I benefited from that personally because Barack Obama became our president. He appointed me U.S. attorney. I support his presidency. And of course, think very highly of Eric Holder, my former boss there. All of that, however, comes in the wake of the defeats of these two very mainstream conservative, but very mainstream Republicans. And in the wake of that, the Republican Party went back. And as I just said, doing some soul searching, figuring out what went wrong, hand wringing, slapping their foreheads.
They burned that book and then they made Project 2025
exactly,
in its place.
Right. And isn't that an interesting evolution of this, the entire back and forth of this? And now that's where we are at right now. It'll be fascinating to see. Again, certainly the election, of course, but also where are we going to be in December, even March, April, May of next year? Where is Donald Trump in terms of the political landscape of America? Where is America in the wake of a defeat of Donald Trump?
Or, God forbid, Trump victory.
Right. Then we've got a very different America.
855-752-4842. We'll still keep fighting the good fight. Where we are. Character matters, I think. I gotta get your take on this. Was this Mark Robinson? Yes. Is that his name, from North Carolina? It has been reported he will be on the ballot.
Governor. I'm right for governor. Yeah. He is not right. Running for governor.
We went through some of the reporting from CNN yesterday. Aaron, I believe you got some sound for us of Mr. Robinson claiming, it wasn't me. Let's hear it, please.
Let me reassure you, the things that you will see in that story, those are not the words of Mark Robinson. You know my words, you know my character, and you know that I have been completely transparent in this race and before. Folks, this race right now, our opponents are desperate to shift the focus here from the substantive issues and focus on what you are concerned with to salacious tabloid trash. We cannot allow that to happen.
Wasn't me.
Huh.
Are you convinced, Jim?
I am not. And I still live in a world, as I know you do and your listeners do as well. I don't know about technology, but I think at some point we'll be able to confirm this with absolute clarity, right? We should be able to do that.
I mean, you have the same emails on a bunch of different websites using the same moniker and a bunch of different websites with his pictures and his, so what is this? This is AI,
right? That's what he's maintaining, right? This is all developed by someone sitting in their basement, putting this all together. More than anything else, the clip you just played once again underscores what we do in American politics today. Let's suppose that we have been anyone who's running for office, and I don't think you and I are running for office.
No.
But if that should have happened some point, and there is something in your present, your past. The answer today, at least among not all candidates, I like to think most of them are not in this category, but simply say, no, that didn't happen. I deny it. And you're powerful and you push back in every single opportunity, notwithstanding the questions from journalists and others who say, but it is clear. We've got the photographs. We've got the cameras. We've got all this. And the answer is simply, it didn't happen. You made that up. And people will presumably buy into some of that. Again, hopefully not enough to win you your election, but nonetheless, that response to the bad news is simply to deny that it ever happened, rather than to even put it in some context, if you will. It's hard to put this kind of, he talks about himself as a black Nazi, among other things. Hard to put that in context, but in lesser things, if you try to explain away, well, gee, I was 19 years old doing some silly things when I was a sophomore in college. That may be different from when you're older and you know what you're doing. But still, this is not that. This is not the attempt to try to modify it. It's simply the abject denial. Those other people, those people we all hate, are putting this out there. And for that reason, don't believe them. Vote for me. They are wrong. I am right.
Mr. Robinson will not be attending the rally former President Trump will be holding in North Carolina. He is persona non grata. He will not be there. So whether or not he can convince anybody else that this isn't true, well, apparently the Trump campaign is convinced enough. They've seen enough to disinvite Mr. Robinson to join the former president on a stage at a rally in the state that he's running for governor in.
Right. Apparently there's some things that are even, again, a bridge too far for the Trump campaign.
Well, yes, this may be one apparently of them. It's the transgender Absolutely. Porn because They don't have, seemingly have a problem with the Nazis, you know, very good people on both sides, you know, that kind of thing. They seemingly don't have a problem with the LGBTQ hating, you know, there's lots of comments in there of his, and CNN, some of the comments were so outlandish that CNN wouldn't even report them. And those are the ones I want to know about. But there is,
but the T of LGBTQ plus, that's the portion. That's the letter that we don't like. And for that reason, stay away. Do not be a part of our campaign. And heaven forbid you would appear on a stage with our presidential candidate in the state where you're running for governor.
And that state right now, Jim, is a virtual tie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is in play, as they say, and we don't know. Maybe it'll shift a little bit, but I think that November 5th is going to be, 4th and 5th is going to be a nail biter, and we may not even know right away. Maybe into that weekend.
Well, Georgia's saying they're going to hand count all the ballots.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong there? Now, I did see they're going to run through the machine, then they'll hand count them, something along those lines. But either way, that will send obviously a delay. You can't get all those hand counted in, 12 hours. That's certainly a little concerning to me. But like RFK Jr., we'll find out whether or not he will remain on the ballot in the state of Wisconsin. Mr. Mark Robinson reported today, yep, he is on the ballot, although he will not be on the stage with Donald Trump.
His party's leader there, right? Right. That is telling. That is very significant.
One more segment this day, Jim, and thank you so much for hanging out, man. I gotta ask you the question. The audience wants to know. Is there discrimination going on in the workplace against adult content creators? Mm-hmm. I want to know. I might have to moonlight. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. 855-752-4842. Aaron working the board, working the phones. James Santel in studio with me. Last segment, Jim. Thank you for joining me today.
Always delighted as always.
Always fun, man. There's never enough time, I swear to God. But I gotta get this one out here. My alma mater, Jim, UW La Crosse. Now the chancellor over
beautiful
there.
Beautiful campus, wonderful institution.
It is, man. It got a whole lot better after I got out of there, man. It's a lovely town on the Mississippi. Beautiful bluffs, man. There's no place prettier in the fall than the La Crosse area. If you get a chance, go check it out. Now, Joe Gao. This guy was the chancellor. And he was removed last year after the Board of Regents discovered he and his wife created sex videos, sometimes with adult film stars, and posted them on porn websites. He still retains his faculty appointment as a communications professor, but has been on paid leave while the drawn-out faculty disciplinary process plays out. All right, so he apparently made these sex tapes, put them on OnlyFans, Pornhub, and X-Hamster. Many of the videos feature adult film stars, and include segments on vegan cooking. Now, what has the Regents got against vegan cooking, Jim? This is what I wanted.
Where is the policy handbook that prohibits vegan cooking, right?
The couple also self-published two books about their experiences in the adult film industry using pseudonyms, The Monogamy with Benefits, How Porn Enriches Our Relationship. That was in 2015. And Married with Benefits, Our Real-Life Adult Industry Adventures in 2018. So they already had a hearing, but now they're having more hearings. Now the UW La Crosse faculty committee heard nearly 5 hours of testimony over 2 days this summer and unanimously recommended that he lose his faculty position. So not just, out of the chancellorship, but also no longer
a teacher.
Professor, right?
Yes.
Now a professor creating porn videos in their private capacity wasn't unethical, the committee said, but they found Gao's response after his hobby became an international news problematic. They said he exploited his role as a faculty member and capitalized on the controversy without the university's interests in mind. They acknowledge, Jim, that what you do in your private capacity is not unethical. So thank you for that. What's your sense? Do you think the guy could ever teach anyone anymore? I mean, from a legal standpoint, like that opinion, but also practical standpoint.
Right. And I think there are two different things exactly. Right. And we do have a First Amendment a notion and concept and principle in this country, right? And the Supreme Court has once again said that, yes, there are some versions and varieties of pornography, certainly child pornography. I prosecuted cases involving that. But adult pornography, consenting adults, those kinds of things, protected by the First Amendment, yeah, for the most part. And so you've got that argument. And that is the argument that he is advancing. Of course, his attorney is saying it's utterly inconsistent with the First Amendment for the Board of Regents to do this sort of thing. He's got this right. On the other hand, the university, as you just indicated, Dom, saying, well, wait a minute, there's a larger issue here. It's kind of the reputation that you bring to our institution.
But isn't that always the case?
Of course.
I mean, you're always going to make that argument. Hey, your reputation of your workplace here or there. Yeah, you got totally ethical for you to do what you want in your own time.
Right.
But then our reputation.
Right. And that's exactly the dispute that's going on right now. There's this allegation of bringing this untoward, this uncomfortable position upon the university itself.
Probably not. I went to school Jim. There was so much sex in that school, man. That's what college is. Right. I mean, I don't know how everyone's college experience was, but there was a lot of sex going on in college, a lot of mutual sex. Some of it maybe even filmed. I don't know. You know, it was we didn't have quite the ability back when I was in school to pull the phones out and record things. But I mean, everyone has sex. I mean, so what? I mean, that's an assumed. So because they have sex and they publish it, now that's all of a sudden a problem.
Right.
But people are already having sex.
Right.
So what is it about the actual publishing on private porn, whatever size, not in the university, not showing it on campus,
right?
That makes us that much more problematic.
I think it is. It is a close question. People can reasonably can differ on this, and maybe it's because of just that point, Dom, that the university is also saying there's actually not just this conduct, but also insubordination, refusing to cooperate in the investigation, violated computer policies, some other unethical conduct. Apparently, he invited a speaker there back in 2018.
Oh, that's right. Some porn star came there.
Sort of thing. So there may be just enough of a connection here. Maybe the regions can say, well, it's not so much your First Amendment issue. It's these other things, and we're going to get rid of you for that reason. That is often the case here in these tough cases where you say, okay, it's not because we're going to trample on your First Amendment rights to produce this kind of product, but you violated our policies.
But we're going to look at everything you did with a microscope and find everything that we can justify and make a case against you.
And the lawyers are telling us that we can do that if we identify the problem here as being something maybe slightly different from a First Amendment base. I don't know, and we'll see what happens. It is an interesting issue out there, certainly for Wisconsin and for education generally. It raises the issue again about legitimacy of an institution wanting to be this place.
Well, also, I don't know that's even just the institution, Jim. I mean, I'm talking about any single workplace scenario. I think a discriminatory act. If someone goes out and drinks, we don't like drink. Well, that's legal. Right. It's not unethical. Whatever, right. Drink something. Pick your vice. Pick your thing.
And you're not bringing it into the workplace environment.
He maybe did a little bit.
But we don't know, right? Exactly.
The context of, I remember when the porn star came in to UW La Crosse back, was it 18?
2018,
I was like, damn, that's a little
Nina
strange.
Hartley is her name. Why do I know that?
I know Nina Hartley. She's like an old 80s kind of porn star. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. There was a hearing for this Joe Gow thing in Madison today, so hopefully we'll find out more about this next week. I appreciate every single one of you tuning in, hanging out with us. I especially want to thank you, Jim. James Santel, check him out tomorrow.
Great to be with you, Dom.
On Saturday's Amicus, a law review with James Santel. Thank you, sir. Hope you got more material for tomorrow. Thank you, Aaron, working the board. We will be back on Monday. Last weekend of summer, folks. Have a great one.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.